Blog Talk Radio.
Going on, guys. This is Freight Broker Live, and I'm your host, Steve Oatley. Today, we are going to talk about sales because so many people asked me in the previous podcasts and videos to talk about sales and how to get clients and all that good stuff. So I switched the camera angle around. Obviously, I have the Blogcast Radio, so I'm doing this live. If you call blog, I will put this up so you guys can call in and ask some questions, and I will do my best to answer them as promptly as I can. If the sound is super high, I'll try to fix it for you so it's not super crazy. But yeah, so we'll jump right in. All right, what was I going to say? So yeah, go ahead and call in if you're interested. The number's down below. I don't know how it works, so we'll give it a shot and see. You know, go ahead and chat in the comments. And so I'm going to be doing something which I haven't done yet with this, these videos or the blogs, is I'm going to be screen sharing and showing you some sales tips and tricks of what I use. It's not necessarily the best way for everyone to do it. You kind of got to figure out your own thing, but I'm going to show you how easy and actually quick it is to potentially book freight, and find new customers. So we don't have any callers yet, so I'm just going to jump right into it. Basically, a lot of people asked, you know, I had a bunch of people yesterday that were asking about the last question, you know, and I felt bad when I watched the video back. Someone said they're a dispatcher and they were looking to figure out how to get new carriers and new clients. I'm going to save my thoughts on the whole dispatching thing for another video because that's quite large. They're large thoughts. And like I said, I used to own a dispatch company, so I've been there and I've done that and I've worked with them for a while. But basically, in terms of answering a sales portion, no dispatcher should be looking for direct sales clients anyway unless you have your broker bond. It's just not legit. It's not an honest thing. It's not something I recommend. But jumping right into the different problems that some people face as in terms of sales, you know, a lot of the programs that are a lot of the topics that I've had during these brief videos have been primarily focused on freight broker schools and why they're not good. And one of the main reasons that I believe that they're not good is they can't focus on sales because sales is a very individualized thing. While some days I could talk very eloquently, today it seems like I'm being a little choppy, and that's the same way with sales. You know, you get kind of, for me personally, I have to be in the mood to go out and go and get new clients. I've always been that way. It's hard for me to focus if I'm not really into trying to bring on new business at that time or deciding whether or not it's worth it. So, for example, I use a different sales prospecting tool, and I'm not going to talk about that because I don't want a bunch of competition on that resource. But I'll tell you, you know, a lot of times, basically with a company name, you can find out who the right person is to talk to. With the system I use, which has been around for forever, I've been on it since 2011, so 8 years now, and basically provides a load. It takes the information from all over the place. It'll show a load that they're looking to get moved. And then it has a company name typically, and that's all you have. Sometimes you're lucky and you get a first name, but then it's a company name and where they want to go. That's very generic information, and it's very hard to find the addresses that way, but I'll show you how I do it. and then how it can lead and blossom into a much bigger list. April says, finding customers is one thing, but keeping them is a huge problem at times because others are always trying to cut the rate, even if you give them a good service. And the service is what I have to sell to anyone. That's true. You have to sell your service. If you're losing customers because of a rate, then you're not selling your service properly. In my opinion, I don't know you. But I know myself is I compete with other brokers and I'm fine with that. With that big volume account that I have, I compete with a bunch of different brokers, the big guys, TQL. I'm a little independent agent, you know, with just me and a couple of people that handle the phones, which that's also switching around. I'm just going to make them agents for me. With my account, it's just me. I'm not going, I'm working against TQL and a bunch of the other larger brokerages and corporate people, and I'm still covering more loads. And like I said, I think a big part of the ability to cover loads has to do with name recognition and who you are. But it's also customer service and how you treat your customer. If your customer is happy with the service you're providing, then they're going to continue using you. If they're not happy, then they're going to shop around or take that rate. I've had customers pay more to me just based on my personality and everything. And they'll ask me direct, oh, I've got another carrier that says they could do this load for this much money. And I'll tell them point blank, it can't. But back to my sales thing. So I use a tool, basically. It pulls in the company name, like I said. What I end up doing is I run with a company name. Here, I'll answer your question in a little bit, Lindsay. So basically, it pulls in the company name, and then I use simple Google searches. So I'm going to share this screen and get this, hopefully, like this. Nope, that's the wrong one. I don't know how to do this. Bear with me, guys. So basically, I'm going to tell everyone, I'm going to speak about what I'm doing as well. So basically, I got a customer, and you guys could treat this as a fair game customer for all I care, because I'm not working with them. This is just a really good way for me to quickly show what I'm doing. Let me find the actual page because it's buried here on my desktop. All right, so basically, I take a company name, and this is the way I do it always. And I take all the space. Well, usually I try to find their website. Once I have their website, this is kind of hard to see, and I can't zoom it in. I apologize. So basically, for anyone that's listening to the podcast, I take a company name. So say I'm looking for any company, basically. I find their website. Oh, did you? All right, hold on. All right, well, you lost the sound. Well, that's not good. All right, so let me fix that. I didn't really talk about anything because I was trying to fix this. Yeah, there we go. Well, that's good to know because I didn't know it does that. All right, so basically, like I was saying, I try to take the company name or the website and try to find the information from them. So here's a really easy one because I found an email right here. Now, I'm not going to send an email to an info@chefscorner.com. Because that's just going to be it. That's like the ultimate gatekeeper right there. Typically it goes to a bunch of people. But I copy that. So I'll copy the entire email, or sometimes it depends. So basically I'll copy the email and then search, especially with food. Food is a good one because they're going to be on lists. So if you drop the info and just search the email address, it's going to show a bunch more. And typically, you, like I said, you could find a first name. So here's an annual conference one. So it'll bring you to a list of a bunch of other companies. I know that I was messing around with this before, and I found a guy's first name that works there. His name was Jeff. So I don't know his email, but what I always try to do to send unsolicited emails essentially is just find someone that works there, and you could do that by using LinkedIn or Hoover's or Bullhorn is another one, I think, or Rocket Reach is another one. And a lot of those pay, but if you're doing sales, you have to, you're going to have to pay for something. So typically I'll put like the first name. So for the guys that are listening to the podcast, I'm typing in Jeff@chefscornerfoods.com and searching, and basically, then this is the list, and I know this is hard to see, but when I search that, it's giving me all different like conventions and participation agreements, blah, blah, blah. So it's got, and you could see just by looking at it, it's got a bunch of different company emails. So if you click on vendor contact information, it's going to have, I think this opens up in Excel actually, so it's probably not going to show. Let me see if I can find one that's on the actual computer. This isn't it. Because that does open up in Excel, which I already closed. So let me find this. Bear with me. And it just closed the whole window on me. So bear with me, guys. Technology, right? So at any rate, so basically you search the name, you search the email, it'll come up with these vendor lists that basically have emails, contact names, and I want to find one here on my computer just to show you guys because it's let me see if I can't find one. You know what? I'm just going to share this whole screen because I know where it is, and I'll just do the whole search again. Bear with me. Well, whatever. And that's Gordon Ramsay. He's funny. So let me take this, and then I got to switch this one to solo. Come on, man. I can't get this damn thing to work. Oh, it's frustrating. Sorry for the silence. Whatever. I'm just going to show you this way. So again, we're at Jeff. It's going to say save because I keep track of everything through the Google browser history, whatever. So when it comes to this page, when I want to try to find one that opens up on the computer, because you could see it downloaded down here. It downloaded the PDF and I could open one now. Or it downloaded the Excel spreadsheet, which was that first contact here. And it's going to have a whole pile of contact information. Now, people say, oh, it's really hard to find contact information. I'm showing you how quickly it is. I got to drag it over to the other screen if it opens. But this allows you to find a bunch of information based on the shippers. Now, what these are is their vendor contact. So ESC1 is some sort of distribution company, and they allow the people that they distribute to contact the vendors directly. And this is how I got my first like major client using one that was based out of the Northeast. And God, where is this PDF? It's just not opening. And it's like frozen on my screen. So there we go. So let me drag it over here. So you guys should be able to see this now. Granted it's small. But basically it shows all different company information, company emails, the phone numbers, the DUNS numbers. So if you want to pre-check credit and all that stuff, it's all here. And everybody could easily do that. And there's, you know, 81 different leads. And the kicker for this is, you know, and it shows, I mean, these are all vendors. So you may have to do a little bit more. Oh, I know it's going to be a lot more difficult in the truck doing any of this stuff, but this is more geared towards the brokers. I'll get into the carrier side of stuff in a little bit because you're not dealing with mass. Like an individual carrier isn't going to be able to handle an account this large. Any one of these accounts are probably too large for a one truck operation. The guys that are looking for the direct freight, that's easy. It's just knocking on the door. You know, when I was dispatching, I had a client. I don't know, Jeremy, if you're watching this. He's from Delaware. He had a couple of down days, so he ended up making, you know, business cards, going to Staples and buying, you know, the business card paper, making a bunch of business cards. And I'm not going to email Michelle. I'm not emailing the list. You guys could follow the video or do it yourself, but I'll show you again how to do it with the other with the other one. But as you can see, these are all those same lists. They're PDFs, quick email quotes, state participation agreements, Square Meals. So this is a whole nother vendor Excel spreadsheet that's going to take entirely too long to open. But it's got, I can already see two companies listed. So it's going to have a whole pile of information. You know, and I did the same thing. You know, I had, and granted, I'm getting leads, so I kind of already know they're shipping versus how other people are. But everyone's shipping. Any of these food manufacturers, they're shipping something. in or out. And you may call them and they may say, oh, you know, we don't need anybody today, or we're good, we don't need anybody, or we work with TQL and we're happy with that. That happens a lot, and that's something you just got to kind of deal with. But these are easily accessible customers. And that's just one way, and that's how I get all my customers. I wish this would actually open up properly, and I apologize because I had it planned, and now I have too many browsers open. I can't figure out where things are opening up. But like I said, with the owner-operator, so I'm a big believer of talking on the phone. You know, I'll call someone, I'll cold call, and I'll just try to figure out the information. And then before I actually go and meet them, I will have every bit of information that I can possibly have, you know, about their family, how big the company is, all that stuff. So that way I can go in and literally know about their business. And, you know, I watched a couple of videos in preparation for this podcast, and I saw a bunch of people that were just straight up cold calling off a list and calling and asking to speak to transportation directors or that. And you can do that. For me personally, I've been more successful either, you know, and I have a weird knack for it, but I'll use like job postings where they're searching for logistics managers and use those as my cold call leads, because they give you the company typically. They tell you that they're needing someone to do what you could possibly do as a broker, or you could talk yourself into a job if that's what you're looking for. But you can usually facilitate a lot of those you can look up, you know, freight negotiations as a keyword on Indeed, and it's going to pop up a whole bunch of different companies that are requiring that as a skill. I also, on my, you could see, if I open this back up, which I will, you could see up at the top, actually it's really small, so you can't really see it. Let me see if I can. There. Well, I got to try to. Whatever. This is annoying me. So you can't really see it because this picture, and I can't put this down because then it will mute everybody, or it'll mute me. But up here I have like associations. So I've got TCMA Association, which is essentially a Treasure Coast, because that's where I am down in Florida, Manufacturing and Distribution Association. Now this doesn't give me anything besides customer names. And you got to search through and say, okay, well, A1 Roof Trusses, I've seen them because they used to be right by where my old warehouse was. So, you know, I know that, and you can't see that. So let me choose a different one. Like here's one, Fasco Epoxies. That's a customer name right there. Guaranteed they're shipping. Who knows the volume, you know, that's all stuff you have to find out. But if you take that and then you Google that company, it's going to come up with, you know, if they have a website. You know, I've found with this association, a lot of them are closed, but you can go to Manta and I'll have some stuff for their website. And typically that's all I ever try to do is just find that. Or a lot of times you can, let me see if this makes a difference. No, it didn't. Hold on. I don't know if you guys could still hear me, but I'm going to take this off. I can't get this to do what I want. I apologize. I'm trying to get it so you guys can actually see this a little bit. There we go. So just looking up this company, it's got, you know, what they make. Obviously, they're shipping stuff in little tubs, or actually the 5-gallon tubs too. I don't know. You could find out where they're distributed. Like if it shows up Amazon, then you know they're going to go to Amazon distribution centers. If they show up in Walmart, you know they're going to go to Walmart's. Walmart has 42. When I used to work on a lot of Walmart accounts, they had 42 different distribution centers. And I would just use, you know, Google and trade magazines to figure out new companies that were getting into Walmart. And I knew they needed to be distributed. And when they do an initial buy, they, you know, they kind of target a regional geographic area. So I was focused on the New Jersey area because that's where I was from. But if you're an independent owner operator, you can do the same thing. You know, if you're based out of Florida, everyone knows how shitty Florida outbound freight is. You're going to want freight. So why don't you go and try to get some freight by looking up local companies and going and knocking on their doors? That's the easiest way to say it. You know, one guy was asked, I was talking to him this morning. He was asking about how hard it is, or what the repercussions are for back solicitation. Meaning like you go to a shipper, you get a job from a broker, you go to a shipper and say, hey, give me loads direct. Now that happens every single day. It's happened to me as a broker. I did it as a carrier. And I, I've I'm sure it would be enforced if it's a large enough client. But if you're going after a small little client, I think they'd be hard pressed to actually go after someone for back soliciting, you know, a load. And it kind of all depends on it. And I'm not recommending people do that. But what I, one simple thing I did when I had trucks that drummed up a lot of business is I used my own bill of lading always. Granted, we were doing local and it was a lot of like LTL and partials, but I would always use my own bill of lading. Advertising. Had my company logo, had my name, had my phone number, had my email address, everything on it. Carriers are able to use their own bill of lading. In fact, they're supposed to. A lot of times brokers will say, you got to use our bills of lading. No carriers, you know, the carrier's name has to be on the bill of lading anyway by law. So I always use my own bill of lading, and that drummed up a lot of business. And some simple thing like that, it's not back solicitation because you're not doing it. You're just giving them the paperwork. If they call you, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know the legalities of that, but I wouldn't think that, I think it would be very hard for them to kind of come after you for doing it that way. And no one ever came after us, and we drummed up a lot of business that way. There's other, you know, ways. So let me answer some of these questions and then I'll kind of try to regain my focus, cause I kind of lost it with all this tech crap. So I think we already talked about this one. This April says finding customers is one thing, but keeping them is a huge problem. And again, that's just service. Yeah, if you keep your level of service up, you're going to be able to keep that business. And eventually, you know, someday you could lose it because someone else just drastically undercuts you. And in my opinion, that's an account that you don't want to keep anyway. Because if they're going to, you know, just take something because it's that much cheaper, then it's probably either your rates are too high and you deserve to lose the client, or the client isn't really connected with you in the same way. Lindsay said, how long did it take for you to build your book of business? I have two or three customers that I've worked with for 5 years. And how I got the customers was, one of them was actually off a load board. It's before I ever did any freight for them. You know, I saw a load posted and I saw another load posted, and then I called a broker on it, and the broker ended up giving away who the customer was, just the company name. And then I was able to find out all the information that way. That customer has been my customer now for 5 years. And I didn't pull a single load. There's no back solicitation in it. They just let it slip who the customer was. I hung up with them and called the customer directly. And I didn't move any loads, you know, for a while with them, but I kept in contact and I kept, you know, talking to them and things like that. I try to become friends with a lot of my customers, and, you know, and most of the people that I dispatched for back in the day could say the same thing. I try to consider everyone as a friend because it helps me care more about the business versus just saying, okay, you're a customer, I'm the vendor. That's just how I do it. So in terms of how long it took me, you know, a month or two to fully get those clients before I started working. Now I quote every single day. So I quote new business every single day. I quoted a customer this morning. I saw that he wanted to pay someone $2,100 from California to, or Phoenix to up in the Northeast, which is outrageously cheap, even for a partial. He called me because I sent him an email and said, hey, I'm interested in finding about what you're shipping, because I have no idea if I could even get to, you know, the $2,500 mark like he wanted for 2,600 miles for 18 feet tarped. And he's like, you know, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to get it, you know, for this much. And I said, well, I'm a third party anyway, so I have to put a margin on it. He tried to do the whole spin like, oh, I'm a big customer, I ship a lot. It's still the same thing. And I told him directly, I said, I can't take the load because you're not paying enough that I wouldn't feel comfortable trying to offer it to a driver. The only way I'd be comfortable if the driver said, hey, I'm already making $3 a mile, I'll take that load. But like, perfect example. I had the five oversized loads out of California going to Wyoming, 149 inches wide tractor tires. It's bid freight. A lot of other brokers have it. I don't care about that. I just wanted to be able to help the customer. I moved a couple of loads last week, made like $700 in commission. So I'm happy with them because I was able to make loads. But a couple of those loads I moved for a decent commission, but I got them super cheap because the carriers were backhauling it, even though they were oversized. And the customer got, you know, used to it and said, okay, he gave me four more loads that were $4,000 for, you know, 149 inch wide oversized load going 1,100 miles. I told him it was a fluke, probably not going to be able to get it. And it turns out I wasn't. So then today, one of the carriers who hauled it last week called and said, hey, some of these other brokers have this big tractor tire going the same location. Can you find out if this is the same load? So I called my customer and I said, hey, do you have one tire? Because the customer, you know, and it turns out he did have one tire. Carrier said he'd do it for $1,000. I booked the load for $1,500. I made $500. The carrier was back hauling, already going that way, already had an oversized load that was paying, you know, plenty of money. So he didn't care. And so it actually benefited me pretty well. Doesn't always work that way. But again, it's how you, you know, how you communicate with the customers that allows you to keep working with them. You know, it's hard actually sometimes to, you know, a lot of times I'll work for an hour and I'll quote, you know, 20 different customers and they're all white, you know, customers I don't know, you know, but like I said, my lead source is pretty good, you know, and it's, and I don't know if there are other sites. Like I know there's Comfrey and UShip, which is garbage now. I mean, that's how I started in the industry, was with UShip, or that's how I got really busy in the industry, was with UShip, you know, 10 years ago before it was, you know, like it is now. Now you can't quote anything on UShip. So the only chance you actually have of booking something is by using a back door where it releases your company name, or just waiting for someone to accidentally post something and before their moderators catch it. And so that way you can go, because any new brokers or even new carriers that are out there and they're trying to use that, UShip's charging 30, 40, 50% profit on the load as a deposit. And it makes it so it's very hard for you to find or even turn a profit, because people, it's just the whole system's stupid. Now Comfreight, we were able to get freight off of once in a while. There's this old site, Real Time Freight, that has some, but again, that's all, it's all bid board stuff. It's not really good stuff. The best part is just, or the best thing you can do as a new broker, you know, and I'll address the carrier side in a little bit again, but as a new broker, the best thing you can do is look up the associations. It's join any association where it says, you know, any of the, like, I mean, if you're from Jersey, look up New Jersey Manufacturers Association. If you're from Tennessee, you could do that as well. And basically just find out who their transportation person is and then hound the shit out of them. That's how you get customers. And if you're a carrier, you already have a leg up because you already know where they're shipping. Or if you're a husband who drives a truck and your wife is thinking about being a truck or being a freight brokerage, you have leads at your disposal. It's not necessarily a great thing to do, but if the companies are separate and there's nothing they could do, you literally have leads at your disposal. And again, that's happened to me too. And if I lose the business as a broker to someone that just gives a cheaper rate, then it doesn't bother me as much as if I lose the business because of a service failure. But I can't see all these comments. Yeah, I know this is back when the sound cut off and all that stuff. But, and Michelle asked me to send her that list. That's funny. So I got a couple of viewers. Anyone want to call in? I guess, you know, we could talk about anything. Because I'm having technical issues, it may just be better just to have a call-in experience. And there's that number at the bottom. I think it works. I haven't had anyone call in yet, so I don't know. But you'll be live, and we could talk about the different challenges you guys face in terms of sales. You know, I had a lot of people are waiting till after and asking me to have conversations with them, which I don't mind as long as I have the time. But now is the time, because a lot of people are sitting here and they'd be willing to answer any questions, or I'd be willing to try to conquer any questions that anyone has at this point. But in terms of carrier sales, like I said, it's kind of the same thing, just at a smaller level. You know, it's you know, if you're based out of Mobile, Alabama, then start hitting up, you know, different manufacturers and stuff that are in that area and just say, hey, you're a local carrier. You're looking to, you know, looking for direct freight from this lane. And, you know, they may say, oh, we don't have anything, or this company handles our logistics. And you could still call that company. Like if they say Joe Blow's brokerage handles all their logistics, and say, can I get a number for him? Because you could still call him. You can get direct freight from a broker. Well, I know that's like a catch-22. So it's not direct, but you can get, you know, direct lanes from brokers where you're just pulling the same shit every single day. And you may have the money in it or you may not. I don't know. You know, it all depends on what the circumstances are, but it's, To me, it's not that hard to get customers. It, for some people, it is. To me, it's just not, you know. Do we have any other questions? We got viewers. No one's asking anything. So I, and Michelle, your bottom part again is cut off by this stupid screen, so I can't see what it says. Yeah, let me see if I can click this. Let me see. You're a brand new broker with experience. That's a lot of people. I mean, if you're a brand new broker, you should already have a book of business. And this is, I mean, this is my opinion. You shouldn't be starting a brokerage unless you have customers. If you've already spent the money to start your brokerage and you don't have a customer base, then it's kind of pointless. Or at least a customer that's actively shipping. And I don't know your situation, so you may have customers. But now a lot of them don't. And a lot of people start and they're like, oh, I have experience. I don't know your credentials, but a lot of people are like, I have experience and I've been doing this for a couple of months now. Or there was just a conversation in one of the groups there. And I didn't get too involved, but they were asking about different schools and you know, how much experience should you have with schools versus education or versus experience. And did you learn the job by experience or schools and blah, blah, blah. And as I've said in all my videos, don't take any schools, any classes, you know, just either go work for someone or, you know, do what Michelle's doing and start your own brokerage and have a little bit of experience. You know what you're doing. You know, I think the best brokers are ex-drivers and ex-carriers, in my opinion. I was an ex-driver. You know, I had a bunch of trucks myself, and I think that made me be a better broker because I was able to do stupid stuff, like figure out transit time and know what a lane's going to cost. You know, someone else made a comment about whether or not one of these new brokers that's fresh out of these classes is going to be able to calculate a rate on the whim. You know what I mean? If a customer calls me at 6:30 when I'm driving home from the gym and says, hey, I need a rate going from here to here. And I say, okay, how, you know, I'll ask them. If I don't have the mileage in my head, I'll say, hey, can you give me the mileage? And I know enough about the geographic locations to say, okay, that rate, you know, that's going to be a $2.50 mile run. That's going to be a, you know, partial $1 a mile or $2 a mile, depending on the lane and with the mileage. But I could do, you know, off the head and still be competitive enough for people that are actually sitting there staring at DAT or staring at, you know, all the different new things, freight waves or sonar or all those that are out there now. There's so many different ways to do it. But again, it's getting customers. You have to get the customers first in order to do anything. That's why I'm surprised that there's so many people, and I see the comments all the time online that so many people are looking to become a freight broker with no experience. You know, the people, the housewife that has no job or has no experience doing anything freight related, that has a husband that's a driver, has more experience than someone coming out of a week-long education or, you know, a week-long freight broker training. Because they already have access to leads. They already have access to someone that knows the industry a little bit. It's kind of funny, you know. I know I'm kind of going off topic there, and I always go back to the school thing. Unfortunately, it's just because so many people waste so much money on these freight schools. And in that group, I forgot what group it was, freight broker, whatever. So, you know, there's people asking, you know, about becoming a freight broker and how to do it, and then. This guy's a good $99. Take my course. Just don't do it. You know, as much as I don't have any positive influence on that, if I had, I would start my own school and train people for free. But I don't have time to do that, so that's why I'm making these videos 1 hour a day. Any other questions? I really thought we'd have more questions because everyone always asks questions about sales, you know, in the chats and all that stuff. You know, I could go in all day and show you exactly how to find customers, but that's not really the most productive way. I kind of want to find targeted approaches. So if you have an issue, so say you know a commodity, and that's one thing. I'll jump back on what I was saying. If you know, like, so I'm a fitness guy, so I know gym equipment, I know supplements, I know that kind of crap. I don't have any fitness customers. I used to have like a guy that sold, or he actually bought out gyms, and so he'd actually buy all the equipment from a gym like once a month. So he had a once a month shipment, but I'd arranged the whole logistics of it, the labor and everything. And that was a cool job, a cool client, but he didn't ship enough. So when I worked as a sales director for a big company, what, and we had a targeted focus. We dealt with food distribution, just like I showed you guys with the Excel spreadsheet earlier. That's what we dealt with, just that food distribution clientele. So I would do the same search just as I did. You know, I was out of New Jersey. I read a trade magazine that one company just got picked up by Walmart and they were going to be starting their distribution in the next month. I didn't, and I'm not a big cold caller, so I don't really call people on the phone and cold call. I try to send an unsolicited email, and then, or two or three, and then if I get a response, even if it's take me off your list, I will run with that, and then I'll call and follow up that way. But and that's just my personal preference doing sales. I've got someone that's gung-ho that works for me and that's going out to do sales, and she's calling 150 companies a day and not pre-qualifying them. And then when she does get a load, she goes, okay, are these good loads? She'll get load lists. And are these good loads? You know, because she doesn't even know how to run rates to be able to tell. And it just, it's kind of hard. And I feel bad because that's someone that works for me, except I'm busy and I don't have the time to keep doing the repetitive teaching, as bad as that is. And she has one focus. She just wants to break into the sales side to make more money. But yeah, if this is working, it's not. Nobody's commenting on this, which is surprising. Because sales is the hot. Everyone is asking how to get direct clients, how to do this, how to do that. So I really thought more people. I thought this would be a hotter topic. So I apologize for those that have been waiting for it. But yeah, so I talked. Man, this is not going the way I wanted to. So I talked a little bit about the just how to find customers, and that works for any demographic. So if you're looking for, parts, auto parts and stuff like that, or cell phone case manufacturers, because that happened to be one of the targets one day for me. I was looking up cell phone case manufacturers to find a particular manufacturer because I wanted that business because it was tied to other business. And you wouldn't believe how many different companies I found, you know, and there's so many different websites out there that are free that allow you to get the list, and how you close the list and how you close the sale is it's kind of up to you. You know, you could watch videos all day long. They're all over online where you could sit and cold call all day and say, hey, it's, you know, so-and-so, I'm a logistics manager over here. I wanted to see if I could talk to your traffic manager. And then they'll be like, yeah, you're calling for who? Oh yeah, I would like to talk about your freight lanes. And I read one person, or I watched a video where one person's just running down a script. And even though the customer was saying one thing, he just followed his script and he still got through to someone. So that means it's not that hard to do. But for me, in terms of the way I do sales, that's not how I like to do it. I like to do a lot of research and find out who I'm contacting and then go that route. And a lot of times it's a waste. You know, I have a system now with the way I quote. I spend 5 minutes on a quote. So like I said, rating something now is not an issue. I can rate anything from one skid to a 130-pound, tractor or something like that. I can quote those super fast in my head. Don't really have to spend a lot of time on it. I spend approximately 4.5 minutes trying to find the customer's email. Because like I said, I already have a little lead because I have the name. So I have the company name and the phone number, or not the phone number, rather, the company name and the first name. So I try to find an email form or something because that's the way I go. I could get phone numbers from everything. If you have a company name, you can find the phone number. It's always there. A big way I do it too is if I know like landscapers and things like that, they're buying equipment all the time. So I'll use Carrier 411. I don't know if you guys are using that at all, but I'll use that as a lead source because most landscapers have trucks that weigh over 10,000 pounds. So they've had to file for an MCS 150 and a DOT number. And a lot of times their email is on their filing, and then Carrier 411 will pull it in. Carrier 411's expensive. I'm not repping them or anything. I think it's great, and I still use it to this day. Every single day when I book loads, every broker out there should use that. Or I think there's another one. I don't know what it is, though. But I think there's another one that's similar to it. But Carrier 411 has all the freight guard reports. So if you're a new broker, Michelle, you should definitely be paying their $100 a month. Not because you're going to get leads from it, just because you're going to be able to qualify the carriers better. You're going to see if the carrier doesn't show up or their safety scores suck or, You know, you could do all that stuff yourself, you know, check DAT and truck stop for reviews and check the Safer to check their safety scores. But unless you actually know what you're doing, you're going to just see different, you know, things that don't really make sense. But for me, based on the demographic of the customers I go after, it actually is a really good sales prospecting tool for me. Any dispatcher out there, as much as everyone hates dispatchers, and you know, I was going to save the dispatching thing for another day, but I guess I'll dive into that a little bit here, because most people don't know what a dispatcher is. Any carrier that's out there right now could become their own dispatcher, and they can. They could find their own loads. You know, you can go to our site, and we now have a new link for the DAT Power, which is the freight broker side of the load boards. It's, you get 15 days free, or owner ops can get 30 days free for the Trucker's Edge load board. I'll have those links up. I think the Trucker's Edge one is up. I just got the broker one, so I'll put that up in a bit. But you guys all have the ability to find your own freight. You already know how to do it. When you get good at it, you could, or, you know, a lot of people will have their wives do all the paperwork. And that's the part that's the main reason why a lot of drivers hire dispatchers, because they don't want to handle the paperwork. You know, I've had a bunch of people that, it's, especially since I've closed down the dispatching side, you know, it's there's so many different ways to get customers and so many different ways to make money in logistics. It's nuts. You know, there's a lot of people that are out there that want to, a lot of people want to start dispatch companies for no reason. Like, I had someone else that called me. They did some internet sleuthing and found my phone number after one of these videos. And they called and said, hey, would I help him set up a dispatch company? And I said, no. And I went through the reasons why I wouldn't. For one, I don't set up any companies anymore. It's not what I want to do, but there's such an oversaturation of dispatchers and people that are not doing a good job, and they have so much responsibility. If you think about it, dispatchers have a lot of responsibility. If they book the wrong freight, that carrier's screwed for sensory, you know, for, I'm censoring myself there. But they're screwed, you know, and brokers have the ability, you know, because based on my definition now, it wasn't always that way. You could find old videos where I say otherwise. But based on the definition now, and I think that there needs to be some rules and regulations put in place, or just followed through with, because I think there already are, where any dispatcher requires a broker bond, because there's too many dispatchers that have direct clients or dispatchers that are booking loads under their own carrier authority and subcontracting them out to independent owner operators, and there's other shady stuff going on, you know. And so I think if they have to fork up money for a bond and work that way, it'll allow it to be better. And I think I read one place that there was a big dispatch company that was a big brokerage that was starting to dispatch as well, or allowing their agents to do it and using their platform to their TMS system to, it was modified so that they were able to dispatch. And I don't remember where I read it, but I was quite surprised, because they were, you know, a decent sized freight brokerage and have been around for a minute. But that just tells how bad the industry is now. You know, I think a lot of, like, the newer people that should do it, especially the ones that don't have a lot of experience, find a driver that'll let you dispatch them for 2%. You know, because if they're only paying 2% for you scouring the load boards every day, then they're not going to get pissed if you screw up a little bit. You know, and it gives you a good understanding, because, like I said, the best freight brokers are people that used to drive and that know that side. People that could sit there and figure out, okay, it's going to take me, you know, 6 days to get across the country, or I'm not going to be able to drive through that hurricane, or, you know, people that pay attention to the weather and stuff. You know, I've had people that hire me after taking several training classes that hire me, and they don't know the difference between a flatbed and step deck. You know your equipment, those kind of things. If a customer says, hey, you know, I have 10 pallets of wood and it can't get wet and I want it to go on a flatbed, and you have to ask them if it needs to be tarped, then that's an issue. Or you send in a flatbed with no tarps and they haul it and it gets rained on, and that's a claim. Because it's not necessarily, as long as, if they say it's not wet, it's on you, you know, and, or that it can't get wet, it's on you. You know, there's a whole bunch of things. Like today I quoted a reefer move, and I know yesterday in the video and the day before I said I never do any reefer stuff, which is kind of funny. But I quoted a load from I think it was California to Texas or something. A drive-in rate for that lane was $3,100, and I already knew that because I moved a couple of partials at it, the same lane, actually, the other day. So I knew that the $3,100 was a drive-in rate. So I looked up what a reefer rate was on DAT, and it showed up that it was roughly 4. And like I said, I don't know DAT load boards, I don't know reefer rates. You know, I don't do much reefer. So I quoted the customer. I think it was 39 was what I was bidding to the carrier. And so I quoted the customer 42 or something pretty low. And he says he's got quotes he said he had one quote for 2,800 and one quote for 31 from the mega carriers. And I said, there's no way he did. And if they're doing it, then they're going to show up in a dry van to pick up a reefer load. There's just no way, you know, and I know sometimes the market's wrong, but I don't think they're off that much, that much. They could be, who knows, you know, and like that, the load that I have in California that's going out to, from Arizona to Massachusetts, that load, I got that posted now. I'm not going to cover that load. And I know it, but I'm doing it to try to help the customer out. He's a new customer. He says he ships a lot. Figure hell, I'll give it a shot. But I also have very little faith that I'm going to be able to cover it because, for one, I don't call trucks anymore. I don't have a need to. I book enough freight right now where the carriers call me that I typically don't have to call out on posted trucks. And secondly, I'm not going to go through the hassle of running credit checks and getting them all set up and all that good stuff if it's a one-off shipment. You know, or if I'm only going to make like $100 on the load, if it's one time, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to deal with it. But yeah, I don't know if this chat just stopped working or, what, but it's, I'm really surprised no one's commenting. It's surprising to me. But yeah, so I mean, those are the main focuses of this conversation. I wanted to talk a little bit about sales and have people at least call in and ask some questions, because everyone has questions about sales, but I can only talk for so long, which I wouldn't think that I would say because I like talking a lot. But anyone else have any questions? Type something in chat. You know, let's talk about the industry for a little bit. I still got another 15 minutes of this thing, so I'd like to fill that time up. What's going on in the trucking world or freight brokerage world or any world? You know, we know what's been going on in Ohio and Texas, which I don't even know why I just brought it up. I'm not even going to talk about that. It's too political and shit now anyway. But yeah, in terms of the freight world, sales is the hardest thing, I think, in learning anything except for TMSs. TMSs are a pain in the ass too. To, you know, building loads is a tedious job that I hate, especially if the addresses aren't in there. But then again, it takes me like 5 minutes to do it. And if I book a load and all in all, I spend 10 minutes booking it, then I can't really complain that much. But yeah. Yeah, I don't really have much else to say. I guess I'm tired. I don't really have much. And I thought more people would be interactive in the chat. So we'll go that way. If anyone has any comments, feel free to or a topic you'd like me to talk about in a future video, go ahead and send those comments up. I'm probably – today's Wednesday, so I'm probably going to not do a video tomorrow, and I may do one Friday, or I may just do one tomorrow night instead and see if that gets a little bit more of a receptive audience. Because these videos work best with me being able to answer questions and people that have questions about the industry and are genuinely curious, especially, you know, cause as much as I shit on all the training and freight broker programs and all that stuff, that is what I used to do, is teach people how to broker and teach people how to move freight. And, you know, I wasn't a commercial, like trainer or anything like that, but I it's something I've always liked doing. And so the purpose of these videos is to do that for free. Is to, because I can monetize it on the back end by views and by getting, you know, the different, you know, sponsorships and shit like I've been working on. But the big thing is I could run off with an outline, and I'm probably going to do that for the future videos. Maybe I'll stop taking the calls afterwards. So that way I'm not, exhausted from talking all day. And like I said, I moved a lot of loads today, so it's a tiring day, and I guess nobody really has much more to say. So I'm just going to end the video a bit early. All right. stay tuned. Like us on, like me on Facebook. It's facebook.com. Freight Broker Live, man, it's been a long day, and it's only 11:50 or 12:150. See, that's how long it's been. But like us on Facebook, like us on YouTube. We have a blog that's now live on Blog Talk Radio. Plus, it's all over the place. So just like us over there. If anyone has questions, send me questions. You know, and I'll cover those in the next topic. I'll try to do that maybe that way, where I create a podcast or blog or whatever the hell this is, a live stream where I focus on a topic. That's what today was supposed to be, but it was built more on the participation side. So it didn't work as well as I wanted it to. But, you know, I'm probably going to talk in depth about dispatchers and that whole gimmick, because that's what I think it is now, dispatching. I'll probably address that in the next video. And stay tuned. Like our page for future videos.